Welcome to Your Life Now radio show, where your life matters. Your host, Coach Rhea, is a certified professional life coach with a passion to help make the difference in the world. Your Life Now radio show brings you powerful resources and effective tips to help you live your best life ever. And now, here's your host, Coach Rhea.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Your Life Now radio show. I am your host, Coach Rhea. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we have a special time and date for our show. It's Wednesday at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And welcome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here live on the air. And also, thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for listening to it on demand and also for downloading the show on iTunes. You guys make me, I do what I love, and with your support, I continue to do what I'm inspired to do. Again, if you are a first-time listener, just to give you a little background on your guest, Coach Rhea, I am the CEO and founder of Your Life Now. It's a professional life coaching service. And on this show, we try to discuss a lot of different topics related to our everyday life. Of course, I'm a life coach, so I try to cover a lot of these areas. Some of these areas, as I mentioned before, are but not limited to our personal and professional growth, personal relationships. We discuss money, finances, career, self-esteem, health and fitness, spirituality, and overall the quality of life. And on this show, I have guests help me along the way and in support, you know, some of these topics that we talk about. I like to point out one thing, as always, you know, this show is really intended to be thought-provoking and for information purpose. So if you do need professional help, please seek that professional help. Find out more how I can help you as well. In my practice, you can reach me directly either by visiting my website at www.coachingbyrhea.com, and you can also send me an email at info@coachingbyrhea.com. I'm on Skype, Coach Rhea, one word. And I just wanted to point out, please make sure that you follow the show so you can get up-to-date information on guests and events and everything. And I did mention before, for those of you who are local to the Philadelphia, New York, even New Jersey area, I will be at the Mind, Body, Spirit Expo November 3rd, which is a Saturday. I will have a lecture speaking at 4 o'clock on Saturday, November 3rd. I'd love to see you there. If you are, you know, in that area, stop by. I will also have a table and, you know, find out a little bit more about what Coach Rhea is all about. Anyhow, one more thing before I bring on my guest. I'd like to set my intention, as always. My intention, my friends, of doing this show is really one thing. I like to help inspire you. I like to help inspire you to make some positive changes in your life, so you can live the life that you deserve and want to live. So all I ask of you on this show is to have an open mind and an open heart. And remember, the information that is shared here is really for information purpose. But if you like to chat with me or my guest today, make sure you dial in either 626-213-5773. You can also visit the chat room. I have the chat room open. You can put your question there. And you can also use Skype. So we'd love to hear from you. And let me introduce you to my today's guest. I think this subject here is very touchy. And I know, like I said, you know, this is information purpose. But this is a real person that I'm going to introduce you to today who had gone through the experience. So if you ever had to struggle with being overweight or have been dealing with health issues that caused by the standard American diet, as we say, I'd like to introduce you to my guest today who know a thing or two about health challenges. And her name is Erica. And forgive me, Erica, if I, you know, mispronounce your last name, Petruski or Petruski. We'll ask her how to pronounce that. And, you know, just to give you an idea what's going on with Erica, Erica had followed the standard American diet that got her up to 206 pounds. And that's, obviously very unhealthy. She was diagnosed with thyroid disease and high cholesterol at age 24. At age 31, and after losing over 50 pounds, she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Erica refused to be a victim of her health issues and went on to research the true causes of her illnesses. And what she found out will really shock you. And it really shocked me when I had the conversation with her. I had the pleasure of meeting Erica when I was on vacation in Maryland. And the information that she shared with me, I told her, you must be on my show because I love other people to hear what you had said. So here she is. I'm so glad to have you on the show, Erica. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, Maria. Nice to speak with you.
Oh, my God. This is like, it's almost like I told you I would be calling you, and here you are. So I'm glad you're here, and thanks for sharing yourself and your experience with our listeners.
Well, it's nice, really nice for you to have me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, as I said, and I want to emphasize this along the way on the show, that really this show is really intended to be for information purpose. So please, whatever Erica is going to share with us, you know, take it as an information. Do your own research. Follow up with, you know, what makes sense for you because, you know, we're all different and our genes are different. I'm not a health professional, so I can't, you know, say that I'm speaking from expert, being an expert. But this is an information that based on real life, real experience. So, Erica, let's start with what happened. Age 24, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty young for such a big diagnosis. After I graduated from college, I went on to, you know, live my life as I had been living it. And just on kind of a general practitioner appointment, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, which is low thyroid, and high cholesterol, which was shocking to me because as a 24-year-old, I wasn't really expecting that at all.
Right. I mean, nobody would expect that. I mean, that's really shocking when I heard, you know. But tell us a little bit more about Erica. I mean, this is your chance, you know, to tell, you know, our listeners, who's Erica? You know, and then we'll discuss a little bit more of all the journey that you have been taking to a healthy Erica now. So who is Erica?
Who is Erica? Well, I was born and raised in the Pittsburgh area, and I grew up being a really active kid, played lots of sports, most notably ice hockey, which I've done for a very large portion of my life. I went to college at Penn State University, where I majored in psychology, and I played hockey for Penn State as well while I was there. And after that, I graduated, you know, did a couple jobs, and then went back to Penn State to pursue my master's degree, which I got about halfway through. And then, you know, the economy kind of slid and, you know, I wasn't able to finance the rest of it.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, where I'm coming from in general.
So you are someone that any of us can relate to, you know, that can be you, you know, and that's what I want our listeners to know. You know, you are not a made up person. You are a real person who had gone through an experience. Now, let me ask you this. At age 24, were you always had a weight problem? Because when you said that you weighed at 206 at age 24, was that something that was built up to that? You know, I mean, obviously that's what you said, your diet and everything, but have you ever struggled like for a long time with weight or?
No, I think it kind of got worse at that point because, as I said, I was a collegiate athlete. So most of my life, I had been eating like an athlete, eating the standard American diet like an athlete. So I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do.
Like
eating
pasta and all the stuff.
Pastas and things. Yeah, basically carb loading before sporting events. And after I graduated, I was no longer a collegiate-level athlete, but I was still eating like a collegiate-level athlete, and that's where the 206 pounds came from.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, when I think about that, I mean, of course, when I met you, I was like, oh my God, look at you now. Yeah. Of course, I have to post your picture, you know, with your consent, so people can see you before and after. Now, when you said, you know, and that's what I loved about you, because you said, you know what, I refuse to be the victim for, you know, for my diagnosis and my illnesses. And you went on to do some research, and I actually went to research the same doctor that you had mentioned in the intro to me, Dr. Mm-hmm. Lauren Cordain. Is that so?
Okay. Dr. Cordain from Colorado State.
And what did you find out? Let our listener hear what did you find out when you did start doing the research.
Well, my main point, the main focus of my research was because I started researching because I knew my thyroid ailment was autoimmune. Doctors told me that it was an autoimmune disease, meaning it's your immune system attacking some part of your body for some reason that the doctor couldn't explain to me the reason. And then you mentioned that I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I was actually diagnosed months later. I was re-diagnosed by an endocrinologist as having type 1 diabetes. Which I was also told was autoimmune. Usually adults don't get type 1 diabetes unless it's autoimmune diabetes. So I started my search looking for the cause behind the autoimmune. To me, it makes sense from what I've learned in the past, what I learned in elementary school, that it's the point of living things to survive to reproduce, and living things will do anything that they can to survive and reproduce.
Right.
So to me, it made zero sense that a body would try to kill itself.
Right.
So my first point of research was, what's causing autoimmune? Why is my body trying to kill parts of itself? This made no sense. And that's where I stumbled across the Lauren Cordain paper entitled Cereal Grain Sword. You can find it online easily. And in that paper, Dr. Cordain draws a line between autoimmune disorders and grain consumption.
Right.
He's kind of like a guy behind the Paleolithic diet.
Right.
So he was.
Can you tell our listener? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can you tell our listener a little bit about the Paleolithic diet a little bit, so people understand what it is?
Oh yeah. To be as simple as possible, I would say that a Paleolithic diet is a pre-agrarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
It exists in the absence of grains, and
mm-hmm.
It's a high-protein diet, includes meats and veggies as the main proponent of the diet.
Lean, obviously, lean meat and veggies. Yeah, lean meat,
that's
also the key, right. Okay, so go on with the research that you have found out, right, about the cereal.
Right. So Dr. Cordain's research was able to connect autoimmune disorders with grain consumption because of naturally occurring low-level toxins within grains. And he posits that these naturally occurring toxins in grains, which I believe he refers to them as lectins, these things could be the cause of many chronic diseases, including autoimmune diseases. So that was really my jumping off point for my research. And from there, I started Google searching grains and inflammation, and I just ran into a whole host of information that has got me much more healthy and to the point where I am right now.
Wow, that's I mean, here most of us think like when we're eating, cereal and whole grain and multigrain and all that stuff, that we are actually eating something healthy. But there is a myth. There's the information is really kind of not really, put out in the right way. And I mean, I know people now are more aware of the gluten-free, because gluten been associated with a lot of issues, health issues mm-hmm. for many people, which we know that. So people realize that most people are allergic to gluten and stuff like that. But not many people understand and know what you know as far as, like, the grains and the problem with multigrains and some of the grains and the health issues associated with eating diets that are high in ingrained. I mean, like, I remember asking you because, you know, I met you at a organic supermarket in Maryland, and I was saying, I was like, well, you know, I have this, what I have for my breakfast is the oatmeal. And I feel like I'm doing really good because we had cholesterol issues in the family, and I'm still a young age, and I don't have, you know, I'm not as young as you are, but not, you know, what I wanted to say is, you know, like, I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to lower my cholesterol, it's going to help me being healthy and fit and stuff like that. But you said, no, I don't think you should be doing that. And I was like, so now I'm like so self-conscious about it. Of course, I did the research, like, you know, to just validate what you had mentioned. And I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. You know,
isn't it crazy?
We don't know, right?
It seems very counterintuitive, but once you delve into the research, it starts clicking and it makes sense.
Right.
You were mentioning, you know, processed grains versus whole grains. The best thing I've read about that was a quote, and I apologize because the person who belongs to the quote, I can't remember, but they likened the difference between processed grains and whole grains, much like the difference between unfiltered cigarettes versus cigarettes.
Still,
you know,
bad.
Filtered cigarettes, yeah. Do you want to pick the baddest or the
worst?
Not baddest, but still bad, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a well put together. And I love what you said. You said in the letter that you sent me, it says, grains contain toxin. Our air, soil, and water contain toxin. I have little control over my air, soil, and water, while I have complete control over grains. I can choose to not to consume them. Choosing to not to remove grain would be negligence on my part.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
That's true. I mean, really, our air, water, and soil quality are inescapable. And they're not what they were, you know, years ago, centuries ago, what have you. The quality just isn't what it was. You know, we have cars driving around causing air pollution, and we have, you know, more chemicals that have gone into the soil, kind of polluting the soil. So if I'm having to experience those toxins and I have no control over them, why would I choose to put toxins in my body if I can choose not to, you know? And,
right,
you know, going on the premise that grains contain toxins, I'm going to take grains out of my diet if I want to be well.
Right. I mean, well, and that's what makes sense. But I think this is where I come in as a life coach. I mean, I always try to bring the awareness to the surface. I mean, I think the more we know, the better we are. Right. So when we understand what's going on around us and we understand what we're doing to our body, because, I mean, obviously we know this is the only place we have to live and how we take care of it. And our body actually has what it takes to heal itself if we allow it to. We keep messing up with it. I mean, that's one of the key things that, you know, most of us forget. Like, you know, it's like we keep doing things to this body and then expect it to operate. It's like if you take a car, if you don't maintain your vehicle that well, you know, it's not going to give you the best operating, you know, or the best drive, right? Because it's constantly breaking down on you. It's constantly doing things because you feed it in the wrong gas, the wrong oil. You're giving it to, you know, you're not doing a high maintenance on it, or you're not taking care of it. It's not going to perform well.
Diesel fuel in an unleaded engine.
Exactly, right? So, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I know, like, I try to be cheap on my car, right? So, like, you know, I'm like, it performs better when I put, like, you know, super gasoline, whatever, versus, like, just regular. And I can hear the engine go, you know, and this is a brand new car. So, I mean, I know, I can feel that different. I mean, and I think, you know, if we just simplify it to the fact that our body is no different, it's like a machine, right? Our body lives in us. We don't live in our body. And I think Deepak Chopra, one time I heard him saying that. And it's so true, you know.
Absolutely.
And this is our vehicle in this lifetime.
That's true. And it's the only one we get.
Exactly. You know, at least in this lifetime, maybe in the next lifetime. But, I mean, right now, let's stay in this one and try to, you know, be in control of this one first, right? I think that will be the wise thing. You also went on and did a lot more research on grain.
I did.
And, of course, on chronic inflammation. And that took you to a few other places And one of your favorite was by a gentleman named Mark Sisson. Is that how you say his name?
Mark Sisson, yeah.
Sisson, okay. And and markdailyapple.com, I think, is that what's his website? But I found something about him, and I want to hear more about why you're favoring this guy. But he actually talks about, like, you know, is organic a myth, and is it really, you know, what's the difference between organic and conventional when it comes to produce and stuff like that. And I mean, I struggle with that a lot, and I always buy organic, but then, you know, you really have to know, is it really, you know, are you getting really what you buying, right? You know, I mean, is the stuff really, I mean, the only way you can control that if you have your own farm, which we don't, if we, especially when we live in a city, right?
That's right.
To control the produce. So why do you like Mark? Why do you like his work?
Well, I like Mark because he has the scientific aspect of it going on, because as you probably saw on his website, he was able to cite lots of research, which I prefer as a research-centered person. However, I enjoy his wit, too. He has an interesting, wry sense of humor.
Right.
That really kind of made me come back a second time to check it out, made me go back a third time. You know, I started using his search bar up in the upper right-hand corner to find recipes, and it's just a really versatile website.
So, obviously you are a great, you know, weight, healthy weight. You are very healthy and pretty much off all medication for your...
I am. I'm off all medications for all my diagnoses. So, you know, when I was younger and overweight, I was put on medications for thyroid disease and high cholesterol. And about a year ago, I went off of those. And also, whenever my diagnosis for type 2 diabetes came along, I was put on metformin. I'm off of that. Also, 2 years ago, as I mentioned earlier, I was re-diagnosed as autoimmune type 1. The doctor who diagnosed me that way told me that I would be insulin dependent within 6 months. And I'll reiterate again that that was 2 years ago. And I'm happy to say I'm not anywhere near insulin dependent. And I really feel as though I owe it all to the clean organic foods that I started eating, and taking the processed foods out and then taking the grains out. It was baby steps, but I got there, and I really feel as though I'm reaping the benefits.
I mean, that's the key, baby steps. I mean, taking one step at a time. And please, you know, I wanted to emphasize what I mentioned in the beginning of the show. This show is really intended to be for information purpose and not intended to treat anything. And we're not advising you to do anything that, you know, seek your professional help. Make, you know, use what's good for you. I mean, you know, Erica is sharing her personal experience, and it's obviously a successful experience, and her story is, it's worth sharing, and that's why she's here on the air to share her story and her success. But, you know, again, you know, make sure that you don't go off any medication without, you know, following some steps and doing whatever it takes, you know, to do that. So don't just think like because you heard it on Coach Rhea Radio, now it's okay for you to go off the air, I mean, off the medication. So, yeah, I just wanted to point that out because, you know, we don't want to, you know, people to start saying, oh, you know, I can just stop doing this right now. It takes steps like anything else in life. I mean, I am a professional life coach, and I can tell you, you cannot jump steps. You got to take them one thing at a time. And you heard it from Erica. Erica said, I took baby steps, but I'm here. And that's the key. So, Erica, so what does your average day look like? I mean, what do you do? How do you, you know, like, how do you start your morning? What you eat? What, you know, what are some of the things that you can share with us?
Oh, my. My average day, I tend to try to get up with the sun coming up. You know, as I said earlier, I do kind of a Paleolithic diet, and I also try to live kind of like our Paleolithic ancestors, too, as much as I can. Obviously, I'm not going out and, you know, clubbing animals or anything like that, but I get up with the sun, and I might take a walk, or I might do some body weight exercises. again, I told you in my email that I don't exercise hard. I, you know, mostly walk. So I'll do that. And later on, I don't really get hungry at all until around 11 or noon.
That's amazing. So, that is really amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, kind of going off on a tangent, that's kind of a side effect of the diet that I eat. I eat a really high-fat diet, so that provides me high satiety, so I don't get hungry very quickly.
So you have you have the energy that you need. But, you know, when you say high-fat diet, you're also talking about good fat. I mean, one of the things that I remember, and I love what I found like a treasure, right? The coconut butter, not the coconut oil. We all know coconut
oil. Did I get you
hooked
on that?
Coconut butter. You know what I found out? When I take a tablespoon in the morning, I can go on for a long time not being hungry.
Oh, yeah.
And it satisfied me. I was like, it has a sweet taste. And, you know, so obviously what we're talking about here also, healthy fat. We're not talking about just eating, like, you know, things that are saturated fat in a sense of, like, you know, especially when it's processed as well. I mean, that's
right,
not,
no process.
Yeah, no process at all. So you talk about, you know, anything that doesn't come out of a box, you know, so everything that is nothing from the box. You say you eat organic meat and veggie, a little fruit too. What's with the fruit? I had actually a medical doctor who has a wellness center here in the state of New Jersey on my show as a guest, and he was opposed to fruit. Like, you know, we went back and forth on that, and I was just like, I cannot just, like, give up my fruit. I mean, there's things that I really like, and then he brought down a great point that he said most fruit, like blueberries, you know, the things that one has the skin in it, what makes it, you know, it has the antioxidant is really the skin.
That's
so he
right.
said, like, for instance, apples, you know, the apple situation things. Like, you know, he even, like, you know, apples, like, oh, sugar, carb, you know, stuff. And I'm like, but apple is supposed to be good for you. It has fiber. It has, you know, he's like, well, then eat the skin. You know, so because he said, like, when you peel the apple, what happens? It goes brown.
Yeah, that's true. One really good memorable quote, and again, I have no idea who to attribute this to, but I read somewhere that Mother Nature often packages the poison with the antidote, so it's best to eat the whole food as it grows, as Mother Nature grew it, I should say.
Right. So when you first, you know, 11 o'clock, you say you don't get hungry till 11 o'clock. So what do you eat at 11 o'clock?
It depends. Oftentimes, if I'm at home still, if I'm, you know, not working at that point in time, if I'm at home, I will have some eggs from pastured chickens, you know, farm pastured poultry eggs, and maybe some pastured sausage or some pastured bacon when it's available. It's kind of like the things that everyone's Grandma and Grandpa used to eat, you know, eggs and bacon, eggs and sausage, you know.
And you think high
stuff.
Cholesterol. You think cholesterol is like the flashes that, you know, most of us, like, you know, we stay away from eggs, especially the egg, which is the best part of the egg, is the egg, the yellow part of the egg,
right.
The yolk. And because we think of cholesterol, you know, but, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of different research that shows, you know, the saying, like, you know, eggs is good for you, and then they say no, you should not eat eggs because that contributes a lot of heart disease and all stuff. So I mean, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And again, I wanted to tell our listeners, Erica is a living proof of the things that she has done in her life to get her to be healthy. Actually, you shared with me when I saw you in Maryland the fact that when you went out, you went and got your cholesterol checked. Your doctor was really shocked to see how your good cholesterol was so high and really good. And then your LDL, is it the bad cholesterol?
Yeah, that's the low density. I had my numbers had totally switched around, and my ratio was correct. There's a ratio between the HDL and the LDL. Your HDL is supposed to be higher, LDL is supposed to be lower, and your triglycerides.
Right.
If you're doing it right, it should be very low. And my triglycerides, the first time I kind of went back to get blood work done after changing my diet, my triglycerides were 46, which to me was astounding, because before that they had been hanging out around 200.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's really a function of no sugars, no carbohydrates, you know, nothing processed. And, you know, I tell people I care about, too, that if their numbers are looking a little off and their triglycerides are high, it's probably best to cut out some carbs and see what happens to that number and give it a shot.
Right, right. Well, you
and,
know, I mean, it's
also,
like... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say that... I'm not an expert here at all, obviously, but a lot of other research I've been doing lately says that cholesterol isn't the foe that we've been brought to believe it is.
Absolutely.
Cholesterol totally is a number, and it's my understanding that cholesterol's one of the big functions in our body is to act like a Band-Aid for internal inflammation.
Right.
So, like, if you got a cut on the outside of your body, you would get like a scab and maybe you cover it with a Band-Aid until it heals and then you take the Band-Aid off. Well, it's my understanding that cholesterol is the Band-Aid for the inside of our body. Whenever we have that inflammation, the chronic inflammation, cholesterol covers it until it heals and then
right.
it peels away and recirculates into our bloodstream.
That's amazing. I mean, it's you know, this information, I mean, like I said, I couldn't stop talking with Erica when I first met her. And I was like, oh, my God, really? I didn't know that. I was like, you know, and of course, I mean, you know, if I have done, you know, obviously the research that you have done, I will find out a lot of the information that you have found out as well. But most of us, we don't take the time to really invest in ourselves, in our
yeah.
life to find out this information. And I really appreciate you sharing this information. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue with Erica and more on a healthy diet, healthy living, and being happy overall. Just want to give out the number again if you'd like to call and chat with me and my guests, and we'd love to hear from you, 626-213-5773. And the chat room is open, so go ahead and put your comment or question there as well, and you're welcome to use the Skype from the show page. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Your Life Now radio show with Coach Rhea will return in just a few moments. Are you ready to put an end to thinking about how you wish it were and take action? Take this step to find out more by going to coachingbyrhea.com and you can receive your free consultation session with Coach Rhea.
Welcome back, my friends. This is Coach Rhea. You are listening to Your Life Now radio show. Today we have a special show. It's at a different time and date, but it will be rebroadcast tomorrow at my normal time, Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we're discussing something about health and the issues of weight and overweight and some of the health issues that caused by the standard American diet. And my guest today, Erica, is in the studio. She's sharing her life experience with us. She has struggled as a young lady at age 24 with thyroid disease, high cholesterol. She was diagnosed later on at age 31, I believe, with type 2 diabetes. And then it was later on, she was also diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And Erica, tell us, like, you know, the whole standard American diet might not be the best way to live our life, because if she's her own experience. And as I mentioned before on the show, the show is always intended to be thought-provoking for information purpose. Please seek a professional advice before you take on, you know, and implement something in your life. And of course, if you want to know a little bit more about, you know, my coaching practice, visit my website and contact me directly, and I'll be more than happy to work with you directly. You can send me an email at info@coachingbyria.com and connect with me on Skype, Coach Rhea. All right, my friend. Erica, thank you again, my friend, for being here. I mean, the information that you're sharing with us today, obviously, it's very shocking to most of us. It's common sense, actually, if you think about it, right? But yet, we just don't know why we don't... we don't implement these things in our life to prevent diseases. Overall, I always think prevention is the first thing, the first step. And second is to really allow our body to heal itself by doing what it's naturally supposed to do. You know what I mean? I mean, I think we keep messing up with our bodies. And obviously, we live in a different time than what our ancestor lived in. I mean, the air is toxic, like you mentioned, which is true. The soil is toxic. A lot of things are, you know, the food that we're eating, that we serve in our families and our kids and our cell, our body, are full of toxin. And how do we become more conscious and aware of it? And you shared a few things with us, and I would like to continue with you with that, Erica. How do we become more aware? How do we be choosy of what is it that we put in our body, and where do we draw the line?
Well, I think just from my experience, the things that have made the biggest change for me are just going away from the packaged process things. At first step, leave the things that come in boxes. Our bodies speak the language of food. The things in boxes aren't really food. They were food maybe at some point, but there have been so many, you know, multi-syllabic chemicals added to those things that were food that they're not really food anymore. They have chemical parts that, you know, we can digest because our bodies are amazing and can digest a lot of things. But just because we can doesn't mean that's what we should be putting in our bodies. So I would say go away from the boxed, processed, packaged stuff and move to real food. Meats and veggies is a good place to start. And I always tell people that if you're gonna go for meats, go for pastured meats from happy animals who also ate what they were supposed to eat. I don't feel that cows were meant to stand in stalls and be forced to
fed grain. I know, right.
If you see a cow hanging out, he's usually in a pasture eating some grass, you know.
Right.
Or so
right.
I would say go for pasture-raised happy meats first if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. And I have to tell you, I mean, one of the things that I'm like so opposed to, like when I see, you know, I mean, like if I go to a farm and stuff like that and I see animal being confined and stuff like that, I'm like, I don't want to eat that. I mean, I'm like,
yeah.
You know, it's like when I think about, you know, and then I found out something that was really kind of interesting. And I don't know if we had discussed it before. The fact there is a difference between grass fed or was it grass ending? Like there is, like, you know, where in the end of the, before they kill the animal, you know, that's when they do the grass feeding or something like that. It's like, you know, they were fed grain along their.
Oh,
you know,
you're talking. Oh, okay, yeah.
What did they call it? I can't even think of the word.
Grass fed and grain finished.
Oh, grain finished or something
grain
like
finished,
that. I can't remember
yeah.
which one was the opposite. I'm like, what? I'm like, so. So that's what I'm saying. Mislabel, misinformation, all over the place. So how do we
pick and choose? Sometimes feed them grains for the last however many months of their lives to fatten them up before they kill them for our consumption. And if you think about it, put this in the context of human beings now too. If cows are being fed grains to fatten them up, what are we doing to our bodies by feeding our bodies grains? You know.
Right. Right.
Are we fattening ourselves up?
Well, that's true to that, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, a lot of it is just really common sense, but we don't really take the time to think about it because we are a consumer society. We just intended to just consume without thinking about what we're consuming and why we're consuming it. You know, we never asked the question. We never stopped to ask those questions, and that's something that, you know, it's just because we were programmed to be, you know, this is the way it is. That's what everybody
does.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of people just look at the front of a label, and on the front it'll say, oh, this is a great source of fiber, but we don't flip the label over, flip the package over, and read the back to see, well, yeah, maybe it has 5 grams of fiber, but it also has 50 carbohydrates, so that's really not enough antidote to work with the poison, like kind of going off of what I said earlier about Mother Nature packaging the poison with the antidote.
So, well, let's talk about nuts. I know you have a little different philosophy about nuts, and you're not a big fan of nuts, if I remember, right?
I think that nuts are a gray area. This is kind of dependent on what your process is for if you choose to eat nuts and if you choose not to. Again, the newer research out there says that if you are going to consume nuts, maybe it's great to soak them in water for a while ahead of time because the same toxins or a similar toxin to what is in a grain might also be found in the skin of a nut.
Wow.
So, okay. So I try to soak mine anytime that I can. I soak my nuts in water, maybe overnight, and then dry them. I happen to have a dehydrator because I like dehydrating foods that were fresh, you know, in the summer so that I can, you know, have them later, maybe throughout
the
winter.
So are you opposed to, like, a freezing as a process also? Like, so, like, if you get fresh fruit and vegetable that you can't find, I mean, obviously we all aim to have fresh, like, seasonal fruit and vegetables, but, you know, what about, like, you know, the freezing process?
I'm not sure because I try not to freeze too much. I would rather dehydrate than freeze. And, you know, going off of saying that, I would rather dehydrate below at 115 degrees or below because it keeps the enzymes in the food alive. And freezing, I'm not too sure about. I'll eat frozen berries if I have to because I'd rather eat the frozen fruit from time to time than no fruit at all because of the nutrient content, basically. But for me personally, I would rather have a dried, strawberry than a frozen strawberry.
But, you know, I mean, again, unless you do the process yourself, you know, the one that you will find in the stores or your even a health food store, you'll find out that there's other things added to it to keep them from, you know, going bad.
Yeah. A lot of fruits will be covered with citric acid. And if it's lemon juice, it's one thing. But if it's, you know, some kind of powdered chemical citric acid that's meant to preserve it, your body sees that differently. Again, it's not speaking the food language in that case. It's speaking more of the chemical language, you know. I really believe in the do-it-yourself way because then you know exactly what goes into it. And it's the same advice that I'll give other people who ask me is it's probably best to eat food made by only people who love you because they're the only ones who benefit from you being well. So I always suggest eating food made by people who love you.
And also food that was kissed by the sun, you know.
That's right.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, when we get these package stuff, and I mean, I'm guilty of it sometime, you know, like I said, like, oh, it's easy, just buy a, you know, a package of a frozen whatever and then just like add some fresh stuff to it and then now you get a meal, you know, because we just look at the convenient. I think the convenient living becomes the way of a part of our standard diet, most of us, that we just like really, because it's convenient, you know, I refuse to use microwave. I really do not use microwave. And
good.
I still have one, and I struggle with my husband with it because, you know, it's like no big deal, right? So, like, if he wants to warm up something, And I'm like, he wants to warm it up in the microwave. And I just like, it kills me. I'm like, don't use the microwave. But it's convenient, you know, and most of us, again, we tend to go the easy route versus the, I mean, I always say if you spend time in the front taking care of things, in the end, the thing's going to take care of you, you know, and, okay. and that's what we miss. We miss that part because, you know, we keep doing, abusing our body and doing things, and then we expect our body to be there for us. You know, mm-hmm. when, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know how that happened. Well, we have something to do with it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and regarding convenience foods, I had counted on them for a large majority of my life. But now, because I'm so devoted to eating fresh foods and foods that only I've touched, you know, I'll take my one day off of work or 2 days off of work a week and make things ahead. I love a slow cooker for that because I can make a large quantity of things that will last my household the rest of the week. And so I'll slow cook something and then, you know, have some of it, put the rest of it in the fridge, and maybe we'll have it for lunches for the rest of the week. Or I even package my dog's food like that. I get him chicken fresh from a local organic farm. And I will, on my day off, I'll portion that chicken into, you know, maybe 3 or 4 ounces. He's a little guy. And then put them in the freezer. And then throughout the rest of the week, I have little packets to use and, you know, steam for a couple minutes and put in his bowl. And really, it makes it easier if you can devote 1 day a week to it, or maybe not even a whole day. But if you can devote 1 day to doing activities like that, you can have fresh, local, even organic, wholesome foods for the rest of the week.
Well, here's my suggestion as a life coach, Erica. What I think you should pursue going forward in your life, and of course it's your choice, is to really spend some time writing a book about your experience. I'm serious. And then pursue this as a professional, because you, I mean, I have to tell you, you are an amazing person, and the information obviously that you're sharing here with is not something that came out of nowhere. It's based on research and also something that you implement in your life, and you use it and you see a different result from what you had experiencing in the past. So, I mean, this is worthwhile for a lot of us. And I'm saying it on the air, and I will talk to you about this off the air as well. But I really encourage you, you know, to go that route, because, I mean, obviously you have something very strong and passionate about, and I can tell that. But, you know, I had to say it, you know, I'm like, on the air, not on the air, here it goes. But I think you should. And I have to say about our dogs, I mean, you know, like I always say, it's like, if it's not good for me, if I don't feel it's good for me, it's not good for my dog either. And actually, yeah. I started taking our dog to holistic vet, and he is not a big fan at all of packaged food. Anything that comes in a bag, he's like, no, no, no. He's like, would you eat that? I'm like, well, some of us do, you know, because it's convenient. But he's like, what's that?
I think with dogs, it's kind of like, I don't know if you learned this in elementary school, but whenever we were doing dinosaurs in elementary school science class, we looked at their teeth, and all the plant-eating dinosaurs had square teeth, and the meat-eating dinosaurs had pointy teeth.
Right.
So when I look in my dog's mouth, I see pointy teeth, so I think that a grain-free diet is also right for him, and that's why I feed him the chicken from the organic farm that I mentioned.
So, like, what about, like, I mean, I know, like, we talk about, like, grain-free, but, like, you know, rice, like, brown rice, quinoa, it's like, what is this, like,
Quinoa,
yeah. I mean, it's obviously those are some alternative to, you know, I mean, if we want to take a few steps to be grain-free, maybe we want to start, you know, that route. What do you think about that?
Well, to be honest, for me personally, I didn't take any of those steps. But a lot of people do choose to do that. They choose to trade in their spaghetti for brown rice and then, you know, again, take that baby step and get rid of the brown rice, and maybe they're having squash instead. I think squash is great.
Oh, I love squash. And I mean, obviously, if you do some research on some recipes, you can pretty much make noodles and stuff like that out of a lot of the vegetables that we don't
absolutely
think, you know. and make your own pasta, you know?
Absolutely.
But not out of grain, not out of vegetables.
Yep, we're kind of, I think we're in the area that I live in, we're kind of like near the end of spaghetti squash season. It seems that way anyhow. And we've made numerous spaghetti squashes in my household, and you know, they go just like pasta. You know, after you bake it and cut it open, you scrape the insides out with a fork, and you know, if you need your food to look like spaghetti, it looks like spaghetti.
you can definitely do that. That's a great idea. Absolutely,
yeah.
I think that's a wonderful idea. And of course, it is a squash season right now. You know, it's the autumn. You know, upon us, and all the goodness of the harvest. You know, food and vegetables and stuff like that. It's out. And I remember one time, and it was actually a Puerto Rican dish that I learned to make. Lasagna using plantain.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've heard of that. So the plantain, you slice it like you would slice like the pasta itself, and you layer it. You know, obviously, I think I'm trying to remember. Do we cook it? No, you don't cook it. You just like basically layer the plantain, and then you put your meat or whatever vegetables and stuff like that you like. You create your own. You know, like you were making lasagna. But using plantain, and I am telling you, it is delicious.
Yeah. That does sound really great.
Oh, it's so good, but it's like a Puerto Rican dish, you know, but it's like really lasagna, you know. But
Absolutely.
Instead of pasta, which reminds me, I should probably try to make it, because I've been like craving lasagna for a long time. And,
there
like,
you go.
Pasta, you know. But you
we've
know,
done
we
that with eggplant too. Eggplant.
Oh, I love eggplant. That's the other thing. Eggplant is like, you know, I mean, I'm part Middle Eastern, and we make a lot of dishes. And I know tahini. You are opposed to tahini, but this is like something we use all the time. Which is for people who don't know what tahini is, it's a sesame seed paste, basically.
Uh-huh.
But the seed itself, I mean, it's still a grain, right?
The seed is a seed.
That was a stupid thing to say.
If you ate the seed itself, it would probably just pass right through you if you ate the whole seed itself. So you wouldn't really absorb any nutrients necessarily from the whole seed. But the ground and the paste, you would absorb nutrients from that.
But, I mean, you did not really favor it when I talked about that, because you said something. Why don't you like tahini?
Well, I mean, we cook with it every once in a while, but in nature, if you came across some sesame seeds, you'd probably be fairly unlikely to eat a large quantity of them at one time. And that might be better for your body, and it might be meant to be that way, that you only are able to eat small amounts of seeds at a time. They're kind of tough to get through usually, and I don't know, seeds are built for survival, so they have that coat on the outside that makes them hard to digest, and it's their plan. It's a seed's plan to make it to the ground and reproduce. So maybe we should just oftentimes let seeds be, have them every once in a while, but maybe just let them be, because they have that coat on them and they just want to reproduce.
Right. I mean, I most of the time, like when I use seed, like for instance, chia seed, I grind it. I don't consume it like that. Like when I put it in my smoothie, which takes us to smoothie. Do you do smoothies at all?
Yeah, I do some smoothies.
And obviously, you know, the milk choice, you know, dairy versus like coconut milk, or I mean, I know I used to use almond milk, and you say, nah, you know, so I stopped using almond milk. So I'm like, okay, no almond milk. But it's coconut milk. I mean, it's still kind of processed to get it to be coconut milk.
It is. And that's kind of where all prepackaged foods are sitting, is prepackaged foods are all processed. So I mean, while I'll enjoy some coconut milk in moderation, and I'll actually enjoy some fermented dairy in moderation, only full fat, and of course only from pastured cows, it's still not something, even though I'm on a high-fat diet, it's not something that's a staple of my high-fat diet. It's just a part of it.
Okay. All right. So we have a few minutes, Erica. I'd like you to kind of like give us a few suggestions. You know, that you, for somebody who's listening to you right now and they really want to make a change in their life and their diets and stuff like that, what are some of these steps that you think, you know, or you suggest people could start doing today?
Well, as I said earlier, one really important thing to do is start to read labels, not just the front, the back, and check out, look less at the fat content. Because I didn't mention it earlier, but daily I eat about 85% of my calories from fat. I feel from research that the low-fat diet is what's causing us a lot of problems. So look at the label on the back. Don't worry so much about the fat content. Worry more about the carb-to-fiber ratio and make sure it's a close ratio. You want to have your carbs low and your fiber high. And maybe another good piece of information that I mentioned earlier, try taking one of your days to do make-ahead meals. And once you start doing it, you get a little bit more creative. At first, you might feel a little restricted because you're like, oh, my, what all can I do with meats and veggies? But really, if you start doing some research, look at cookbooks, look online, you end up being more creative in
right.
the end, the more
right.
research you do. The other thing is, another point that I thought was important to make was our bodies, I was talking about carbs a little bit ago, I feel like there is a difference between what our body sees as a primary energy source and a preferred energy source. I think that our bodies see sugar and carbohydrates as primary because they're so easy for our body to access. It's really easy for our bodies to burn sugar, very easy. But if you can look from the perspective of what your body is storing, your body is not storing sugar, it's storing fat. And to me, in my opinion, that means that fat is really the preferred energy source of our body. So with sugar being primary because it's easy and fat being preferred because our bodies obviously want to store it, I really believe that if you give your body sugar, it'll go ahead and burn sugar. But if you give your body fat, it'll burn the fat. And to me, that's what most people are looking for is, well, how do I burn this fat? Give it
right,
fat.
There's a stored fat. So, like, if you overweight and people who are thinking, like, you know, someone who's overweight, and they say, well, if I consume more fat and they already have fat stored in their body, say, how the hell am I going to be losing weight?
Yeah. It so is a little counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of great information, my friends, and I really do appreciate you being on the show and sharing your experience and sharing your knowledge of the topic, because like I said, Erica is a proving, living proof of what she's talking about, because she implements these things in her life, and she is healthy now, and she is at a great healthy weight. And looking fabulous, my goodness.
Thank you very much.
And, if you go back to the show page, you'll see her picture before and after, and you know what I'm talking about. And Erica, my friend, pardon me, thank you. Thank you so much for being my guest, and I would love to pick your brain again, you know.
Oh, my gosh, I really appreciate you having me on, because – I love helping people, and I hope that this helps.
I know you do.
If it helps one person.
Right. And I'm telling you, I really mean it. I think you really should consider going professional with this as someone who does that for a living, because you know it's the information that you you know, obviously the more you learn, and that's something that I share with everybody. I think the more we know, the more alive we are and the better off we are, because it's like, you know, and I for me, I always say it's like I learn something new every day, and you taught me a lot. And today, actually, I learned something new from you as well. And I do thank you for that. And
we
should always be hungry for that information. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So thanks, my friend. Have a great day. And thanks for making the time to be on the air with me.
Thanks for having me, Rhea.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, just, you know, again, want to tell our listeners the show will be rebroadcast tomorrow at our normal time at 2:00 in the afternoon. You can listen to it today, obviously, after it's archived. And you can tune in again tomorrow and listen to the live show, I mean, to the recorded show at its normal time. Thanks so much, everybody. You are amazing. Remember, it's really all it takes, one step at a time to make the change in your life. But you need to want to make that change. And so think about it. Are you happy? Are you happy where you are right now? And if you're not, why not? Right? And always question things. Don't just accept things just for whatever they are. Because, you know, the more you ask questions, the more you're going to find out the more answers, which going to give you more choices. And that's what it's all about. Knowing that you have a plenty of choices out there to live a fantastic life. So don't cut yourself short. Live your life to its best. And I encourage you, please, you know, get in touch with me. And I'd love to offer you my free consultation if you send me an email to info@coachingbyria.com. And with all that being said, stay amazing. You are amazing. Much love to you all. Thank you.
Are you ready to put an end to thinking about how you wish it were and take action? Take this step to find out more by going to coachingbyria.com, and you can receive your free consultation session with Coach Rhea.
Erica?